Thank you. You may be seated. If you have a copy of God's Word, would you take that and flip it to the very middle of your Bible? We'll be there all summer long in the middle of your Bible. It'll be easy to find. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, we'll have it on the screen here in just a moment. As we continue our series in the summer of looking through the book of Psalms, a wonderful, wonderful book of the Bible that is presents a very honest and open and transparent look at somebody who's just like me and you, walking through life, dealing with life's issues, a relationship with Christ, what that means and what it looks like. And so over the summer, we're going to talk about different parts of who God is and what God is to us. And so last week, we talked about that God was our song. And not only is he our song, the Lord also says that we are His song and that He sings over us and sings to us and sings beside us and enjoys the worship of the songs that we bring to Him. And this morning we come to a psalm. I didn't realize it last Sunday night. We were talking together that it was this Sunday, but one of my favorite psalms, in fact, one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible, really gives us a real feel of who God is. And I'm going to tell you, the world today really doesn't understand God. They really get a false concept of who God is and what God has done and how great God's love is for mankind and where that love starts and how long that love lasts. In our world, love is many times is short, it is temperamental, it is conditional, it is based on feelings and emotions, it's based on sometimes just I have to, but God's love is based on none of those things. God's love is based on who He is and His character and of His great love for all of mankind. So this morning we want to talk about this idea that God is our significance. There's a great author, Robert McGee, wrote a book many years ago called The Search for Significance. A Christian author who was a founder of Rafa, I believe, the Christian counseling many years ago in Dallas, Texas, wrote this great book on the search for significance. Our world is wondering, why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? How did I get here? We oftentimes ask those questions, and if we don't know the meaning of that question, then the rest of our life can be really out of kilter. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. And we even discovered that as a church family back in January and February of reading the book, What on Earth Am I Here For? That was full of scripture and talking about why it is that God has put you where you are. It really helps us think through this fundamental question of why am I significant? Why is my life significant? And we've often talked about, well, you got to have a healthy self-esteem. You got to like who you are and like what it is that you are becoming. And it's all about you. It's a lot of me-ism, a lot of pop psychology that really is not based on Scripture. For if we really understand, significance only comes from one place. It comes from our relationship with our Heavenly Father. It comes from understanding that He created us and that He loves us and desires to have a relationship with us. If we don't have this vertical relationship right, then every other relationship in our lives are going to be fouled up. They're not going to make sense. We're going to be having a difficulty dealing with the horizontal when we don't deal with the vertical. And so this morning I want to just help you know four simple truths I think that will really help us, each of us, wrap our minds around the idea that God is our significance. Warren Wiersbe, the great commentator, said this statement about this particular psalm and this idea. He says, what we think about God and our relationship to Him determines what we think about everything else that makes up our busy world. Other people, the universe, God's word, God's will, sin, faith, and obedience. Wrong ideas about God ultimately lead to wrong ideas about who we are and what we should do. And as a result, this leads to a wrong life on the wrong path towards the wrong destiny. In other words, theology, which is right knowledge of God, is essential to a fulfilled life in this world. Now, King David, the guy who slayed the giant, is the one who wrote this psalm. As David reflected, I don't know if he was out in the field, he wrote this later in life, we don't really know. But we know that David wrote this psalm. And what a magnificent psalm. It's been put to music and several different music. I love this psalm when it's put to music. I learned when I was in junior high years ago that talked about this incredible psalm. So if you will, in honor of reading God's Word, let's stand together once again in the honor of reading God's Word. And we're going to read this entire psalm together. He is my song. Listen to David's heart. Oh Lord, You have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You do know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and night are alike to you. For you did form my inward parts, and you did weave me in my mother's womb. And I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book, they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way. Father, may these truths sink deep into the depths of our soul. And Father, I don't have any doubt that this message was deemed for just this day. That you know our days, they're numbered. You knew us before we were born. And you knew that every one of us would be sitting in this building today. And you have a word for each of us. And I pray we would hear it. And we would respond to it during a time of invitation that would give us a chance to say yes to you. Speak to us now, I pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There is an outline there. You can follow along. We're going to dive into these quickly, these 4 points. So grab your seatbelt that's right below you, buckle it tight, and away we go. Number one, this is the statement. God knows us intimately. God knows us intimately. And as a result, because he knows us intimately, we cannot deceive God. Now, our world thinks we can deceive God and we can deceive other people. You know that about the truth. We can deceive each other. We can smile on the outside when everything on the inside is crumbling apart. Some of you walked in this very door and your heart and your life are broken. But you put on a smile and you put on your Sunday clothes and in you came. And nobody really knows. And you think, and we do think, we deceive everybody. But I have wonderful news for each person here this morning. And that is this, that God knows you intimately. The Bible says, Lord, you have searched me and known me. The word search means to pierce through, to examine with pain and care. It's like this idea of seeing right through a person and searching for treasure. Folks, God sees into the depths of your soul and mine. And as a result, because of that, we cannot deceive God. Now, when we think about that on the surface, sometimes that makes some people panic. We're like, oh, no, God can see me. God knows everything that I do. And all of a sudden, there's a panic. Because we don't want God to know everything we do. And some would say, well, it's none of God's business what I do. Yet the Bible says that God knows everything we do. But as a child of God, listen, nothing should be greater than the fact that God knows us intimately. Jeremiah 17, verse 10 says this. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deed. God knows you intimately this morning. That's great news. Now, there's some things that God knows about us intimately. Three things. Number one, God knows my ways. Now, think about it this way, that God knows our thoughts. Now, let me ask you a question. What if during the day, as we went through the day, somebody could plug in something into our brain, like we've seen on some of those science fiction movies. Plug something in your brain, and everything you're thinking would go on a screen that everybody could see. Does that make any of you nervous at all? Thank you, some honest hands already in the building. Thank you so much. What if you could have seen me last week and plugged in my brain when I was preaching with no glasses? What I was thinking about y'all that I couldn't see. I can see you now, so no falling asleep today. I have lenses. What if during the day that we walked through our day, there was a screen we carried around our chest that displayed everything we were thinking? Oh, my goodness. Sometimes we'd be in good shape. Other times we'd be begging for mercy. I didn't really think that. I don't know why that's right here. I didn't really think that. Yes, we did. We think things all the time. Our minds are constantly in motion. Those of us who are ADHD, it really goes, you know, in motion. It's pretty crazy. Only God could read our mind. We know that for sure. But God knows your thoughts. God knows everything you think before you think it. God knows your ways. Many times a husband and wife will say they've been married long enough, I know what they're thinking before they even say a word. Right? Oh, but it goes far beyond that. God goes way beyond that. That He knows our every thought. You might hide your thoughts from others, but you cannot hide them from God. Not only does He know your ways, He knows your words. Our thoughts usually go into words. And my thought is this, maybe what words did you utter this week? What words did you say? Some were good, some were probably bad. Some were careless, some were thoughtful. Matthew 12, 36 says this, "But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So we have to ask ourselves this question: how have we done in our thought life this week? What has God read in our thought life? Secondly, what has God thought about the words that we've said? How Christ-like have they been? How uplifting have they been? How encouraging have they been? God knows our ways. God knows our words. And thirdly, the Bible tells us here that God knows my walk. God knows my walk. He says, "You've gone before me and behind me. Your hand is upon me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up." Now, where all have you been this week? Now, some of us are pretty good and safe because most of us have worked all day. And we have come to church Tuesday through Friday. You saw the list of names, over 100 adults and students that loved on all these precious children this week. They've done an amazing job. God bless them. God bless you this week. A lot of you are here. So we hadn't had time. We've fallen to bed and pass out, and thank God we were able to survive another day. But on a different week, where do we go? What places are we? Was God with us at work when we were in that meeting? We were tempted to do something we shouldn't. Was God with us with our families this week, or when we were dealing with our children? Or where have we been this week? That God knows our walk. We'll talk more about this in this next section here in just a moment. But to think about this. And everywhere you went, what you thought, what you said, how you lived, God was there. There is nowhere you've been this week that God was not. Now, some people say, "Well, how do you explain that, preacher? How does God everywhere at one time?" Here's the theological answer. You ready for this one? This is deep. I have no idea. Here's my answer. He's God. That's what makes Him God. That's what makes Him stand above every other God. He's everywhere. He is omnipresent, the Bible says. Hebrews 4:13 echoes this thought. He knows about everyone, the Bible says. Everywhere. Everything about us is bare and wide open to an all-seeing eyes of our living God. Nothing can be hidden from Him, to whom we must explain all that we have done. I've got good news for you. God knows your ways, He knows your words, and He knows your walk. And no matter where you've been this week, God loves you. That's great news. Now, before I get too smiley and sell a book, listen, God loves you like you are, but listen to me carefully. God loves you enough where you are to not leave you where you are and like you are. Listen, God's in the business of chipping off rough edges in our lives, and sometimes, unbeknownst to some people in the world and some preachers, sometimes you preach the health and wealth gospel, that difficult times in your life ought not happen. But I'm going to tell you what, there's some times in my life that have been real difficult that I would not have grown and God would not have chipped away the rough edges of my life had I not had those difficult moments. And I'm grateful to God that He chipped away some of those rough edges because they were ugly. There were some thoughts I've had that needed to be chipped away. There were some words that I had thought that needed to be chipped away. There were some ways of my life that needed to change. And so good news is God loves us like we are, but God loves us enough not to leave us there. That's the good news of the gospel. What was David's reaction to all this? What does he say? I cannot even understand it. It is too high for me. I cannot even wrap my mind around that God knows my thoughts, my words, my ways, my walk. He knows it all, and yet he still loves me. Isn't that extraordinary? God knows us intimately. You cannot deceive him. Secondly, this morning, the second truth is this, found in verses 7 to 12, is God is with us constantly. God is with us constantly. Sometimes we think that, well, maybe I can hide from God. Oh boy, go look at the Bible. Ask old Jonah if you think you can hide from God. True story in the Bible, by the way, if you never heard the story of Jonah. Old guy named Jonah, God says, Jonah, I want you to get up and I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah says, I don't want to go to Nineveh. God ever told you to go somewhere you didn't want to go? Do something you didn't want to do? God, yeah, me too. God says, Brad, I want you to move to Petal, Mississippi. Not me. Uh-oh, I said that out loud. Not because of y'all, not because of Petal. But I was real happy where I was. My wife finally sat me down one day. We were struggling, and I was making Chris Rhodes struggle because I kept saying, give me more time, give me more time, give me more time. My wife finally said, what the problem is, you just like where you are. It wouldn't matter if it was Petal or Alaska or Hawaii. I said, now, Hawaii, that'd be a different story. But no, it wasn't that. It was, I just like where I was. But sometimes God, when we're right where we want to be, sometimes God says, that's where I want you to be so I can get you ready to go to the next place. And old Jonah said, I'm not going. But when God made it clear that I needed to go, I remembered old Jonah. I don't like the ocean. I sure don't want to be swallowed by no stinking fish, I can tell you. It's a true story in the Bible, by the way. It's not some allegory. It's a true story. I don't know how it happened. Miraculously, God allowed him to be in a whale or a fish, whatever, big old fish for 3 days. Threw him up on land. God said, hey, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, I'm on the way. No problem. I'm on the way. You cannot get away from God. Our world tries to. Our world tries to hide from God in all kinds of ways. We try to fill our lives with all kinds of junk, thinking we can hide from God. We try to hide from him by pouring our lives into something else, pouring our lives into our work, pouring our lives into our hobby, trying to hide from God. And all along, listen to me this morning, some of you this morning, God has been calling your name, and you have done everything you can to avoid God, to dodge God, even to dodge church. But God has a word for you this morning. Listen to me. Well, I shouldn't admit this, but I will. Some of you don't know me at all. You never even met me before, but I like to be real honest. Is that okay with y'all? Can I just be honest with you? Do you know why we love to do a family day on Sunday morning at 10:30? Y'all know why? Can I let you on this? Because I know they're going to sing and you want to take a picture. Isn't that just low? I know some of you might not, you might think about, I don't want to go to church, but your kids are here and they've enjoyed it, and you came, moms and dads, and can I applaud you? Job well done. But listen to me carefully. I love you enough to say this to you because I know it's true. God has a word for you this morning. This wasn't the original psalm I was going to preach. It got changed around. I didn't realize even what Sunday it was. And I believe God has a word for some of you that you are like, wow, preacher's been reading my email. Been reading my text messages. No, I haven't. But God has. God is with us constantly. We cannot dodge him. What does he say here? Two things quickly. Three things cannot hide us from God that David talks about. Number one is death. Death does not hide us from God. Romans 8, 38 through 39 talk about nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing in this world, not height nor depth nor any created thing in the highs or in the lows, in the middle. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing, not even death. The great separator, the thing that makes every man afraid potentially. Talk about death and everybody starts to squirm. Talk about going to a funeral home. Everybody starts to squirm. We don't want to talk about dying. We don't want to talk about death. That's morbid. That's depressing. We'll talk about that. Yet David says, the thing that man is most afraid of, God has already overcome. Death doesn't hide us from God. Listen, the Bible's very clear. lot of preachers don't want to talk about this either, but I will, and I say it all the love I can. The Bible's very clear. The Bible says we are appointed once to die and then the judgment. We are appointed to live and to die. The day is already marked. It's already determined. We don't know what it is, but God knows what it is. And the Bible says we'll stand before a holy, righteous God. Even the devil himself will stand before him one day. And he says, we'll either stand before him as he's our Savior or he will be our judge. And here's the great news of all. It's our choice. God gives us a choice. Follower of Christ, great news. You have nothing to fear in death. Nothing. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about we don't have to fear death. Death doesn't hide us from God. Secondly, distance does not hide us from God. Distance does not hide us from God. Adam and Eve, they thought they could get away from God, and they hide in the bushes, and God comes around and says, Adam, where are you? Now listen to me. Let me ask you this question. Do you think that God knew where Adam and Eve were? You think? Of course he did. He's God. So why in the world did God ask a question like that? Did you ever thought about that? Why in the world did God ask them where they were? I'll tell you why. I think. Same reason we are not supposed to be. And God says, What are you doing there? I didn't create you to be over here. Why are you over here? It's a loving call, by the way. Why are you over here investing in this? Why are you in this place? Why are you in this situation? So we can say and realize, like Adam and Eve did, man, boy, I've messed up. And God wanted to give them a chance to say, Lord, here I am. I'm right here. Distance doesn't hide us. Now, distance can separate you and I. You know, I've been overseas many times, show my boys where I've been. I've been to what I think is the ends of the earth. I've been to India about 4 or 5 times, and I can't think of any other place on planet Earth that could be further away from where I am, except maybe, Melanie, Indonesia. Borneo. I just saw the map of a people group we were hopefully going to pray about adopting. It may be a little further out than India. It's 6,000-8,000 miles away from here. Boy, distance separates us. You feel it. But here's the amazing thing. God is the same. Right here in good old Petal, Mississippi. As he is in Australia and Africa and Antarctica and Russia. He's the same God. Distance doesn't separate us. Doesn't change anything. Thirdly, darkness does not hide us. Now, boys and girls, listen to me. We talked all this week about what? Our motto was, you might remember our motto this week? Anybody? Facing fear, trusting God. Now, boys and girls, does the dark ever make you afraid? Sometimes, if you're honest. Now, your moms and dads would always say, I'm never afraid of the dark. Right. Arr, you know. Yet we watch on these movies, all these people, they watch these scary movies, and what do? They always go somewhere in the dark. And we're all screaming, don't go in that room. Right? We get scared of the dark. And darkness necessarily mean physical darkness. Darkness sometimes are things in our lives that separate us. I'll never forget my son one night, William, I think it was, had a bad dream. And, of course, always the middle of the night that you want to sleep the best, you know, that always works, moms and dads. And like me, when I had a bad dream, if it was a really bad dream, you'd call up for dad because you needed a superhero dad to come save the day. You know, not so bad, mom could come, but you had to scream really loud to wake up dad because dad usually was unconscious. So I guess he screamed for dad that day. Dad. So I went in there and it's dark. Of course, I'm some way feeling through. And he said this statement. And I'll never forget it. It was a God moment. One of those moments that God speaks to your heart in the middle of the night. He said, Dad, where are you? I said, I'm right here. He said, but I can't see you. I said, I can see you. And just because it's dark doesn't change the fact that I'm still here. There's a story told of a Cherokee Indian legend of a man growing, a young boy becoming a man. And how that happened was the father would take the son take him out in the woods. There would be a stump there. And for the boy to become a man, he would have to sit on that stump. His father would blindfold him, and he would have to sit on that stump all night long and not move. So he would take that boy out, and whatever happened was between him and that father. He could tell nothing else. He could not peek through the blindfold until the light of dawn, he could sense it on his eyes. So you can imagine the fear of a young boy out in the middle of the woods. His fear would rise up in him. He would, of course, obviously you can't see, so you know what happens. Your hearing becomes heightened, and you hear every creak and groan and stick breaking and wind blowing, right? Can you imagine how scared you might be? But there he stood and stayed and sat in that spot, no matter how afraid, because he wanted to prove to his father he could do it, to become a man. Finally, after the horrific night was over, the boy removed his blindfold, and there sat his father right in front of him. See, what he didn't know was his father never left him. He sat right there with the son the whole night. And it teaches you and I, adults, that it is not usually physical darkness that scares us as bad, because we know the truth about the darkness. But some of you are walking through darkness, and it is thick, and it is choking, and it is hard. And God says to you, I'm right there. That's good news, isn't it? God knows us intimately. God is with us constantly. The last two, let me be quickly here. God made us wonderfully. God made us wonderfully. You cannot disregard him. Don't have time to go into all this, but let me just tell you this much. The Bible says here that God created you and me. People say, well, I don't know if I believe in God. I just don't know if I can believe in God, that God created everything. I'm just not sure I can believe that. Well, my favorite illustration is, well, let me tell you what. Have you ever seen, how many of you know about the ride Space Mountain at Disney World? Ever seen it? Okay. How many of you have ridden that ride by chance? How many of you have ridden Space Mountain? Okay. How many of you have seen it before you rode it, you saw it with the lights on? Anybody ever seen the track before you ever rode it? Okay, a few of you. How many of you have never seen the track ever and you've ridden it several times? Okay. Okay. You're crazy. You're crazy. Right? How could you ride a ride? I'll never forget. I didn't ride roller coasters, but I can remember my first trip to Disney when I was a young child, and we drove through. At that time, there was a little tram thing that ran by there, and you could, and it drove you by and had a window, and you could hear this. Ah! You could hear people screaming and probably bad words, I'm sure, and it was, but you couldn't see a thing. It was pitch black dark. If you know about Space Mountain, it's a roller coaster that's in the dark, right? But one year, we had gone to Disney World, and Space Mountain was under repair. I'll never forget. I looked in that window, and I thought, that is the biggest goopledygarp of wire and metal twisted together. What idiot would ride that ride? I would. You did. You got on that ride, those of you who got on it before, you didn't know who created that ride. You just assumed it was Walt Disney World, right? Because Walt Disney, of course, would do nothing wrong. He didn't design that roller coaster, but you got on it and you didn't even know who designed it. You didn't even inspect it beforehand. You didn't demand and expect to say, I want to see if you really created this ride. You got on because you trusted, right? Then how is it in our world to say that God didn't create the world, that God didn't create you and I? We can't say that one thing is true, but the parallel is not true. God created you and I. Just one little thought here. Did you know in your body, there are 3 billion cells that die in your body every day? Do you know that? 3 billion. That's a lot. Some of you are going, oh, well, that's why I don't feel good. I've got 3 billion cells dying a day. But do you know every day that in the same amount that die are replaced in your body, in just your brain alone, for most of us, some of us have a little less, but there are 30 billion cells in your brain. 30 billion. God created you before you were ever born. This is why your pastor in our church believes this statement to be true, that life begins at conception. That unformed, part of who we were? God knows, and God created, and God loves. It is a person. God's word makes it so clear right here. Not only that, and I've got to hurry because my time is up, he considers me. He considers me. Verse 17 and 18. I'll never forget when I finally understood this. How many of you have either, how many of you have been to the beach? Raise your hand, see if you've been to the beach. Okay. How many of you have decided that, you know, I would like to just get a feel for how many grains of sand are at Gulf Shores? And so you just started to count. Anybody counted grains of sand? Carter, you've counted? Okay, good. How many of you counted, Carter? A lot? All right, that's good. I'll take that a lot, okay? Here's what the Bible says. Are you ready for this one? Let this soak in, and we're going to have to end here. Let this soak in. The God of the universe says this statement about you, individually, by yourself. So just draw a little box around you, and this is what God says about you. God says that he thinks about you and me every day more times than all of the sands on every seashore on the planet. He thinks about you more than those every day. Hello. Just that ought to make our brain just really hurt a lot. When we're dating, we tell somebody, I'm thinking about you all the time. Right? We say that, you know. Think about you all the time. You know what? It's not true. No, we're not, especially if you're a guy. We're not thinking about that all the time. Ladies, maybe you are a little bit, but I mean, we're not. Guys, and ladies, if we say that, we're lying. Just to be honest. It's Father's Day. What difference does it make? You know, we're not thinking about it all the time. And ladies, let's be honest. You ain't thinking about us either. We know. Especially when you have children. Anyway, so... God thinks about you and I that much. If you think about something a lot, you probably love it a lot. Maximize that times billions and trillions. And the God of the universe, who knows your name, who created you, who knows you intimately, who you cannot get away from, says, I think about you all the time. In other words, God says, listen, I can't get you off of my mind. So listen to me. We're through. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. All the people want to tell me, God doesn't love me. Really? God's proven his love. God has shown his love. God continually shows his love. God has demonstrated his love. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, nobody cares about me. Nobody knows what I'm going through. And you know what? That may be true. Except there is one. Listen, every one of you in this room, some of you, I have no idea. I've never, ever met you before. You never met me. After today, you may never want to come again. Who knows? Hopefully not. But God knows everything about you. Knows the hairs on your head, or lack thereof. He knows every thought you've thought in this time we've been together. He knows it all. He knows your address. He knows how long you're going to live. All of us individually, all at one time. How in the world is God? And he has a plan for your life, and it is significant. God didn't put you on this earth just to waste your life. He put you to have a relationship with him and to invite others to experience that kind of relationship. That's what this week was about, by the way. That's honestly why we did today. We wanted your boys and girls and you moms and dads to know that if you don't know, that there is a God who loves you and cares deeply about you and desires to have a relationship with you. And this morning, some of you have that opportunity to say yes to Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me this morning? With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Nobody looking around the room this morning. Our time is up, and so I want to encourage you in just a moment that you'll respond quickly to what the Lord puts on your heart. This morning, if you were here this morning and you're a boy or girl, mom or dad, teenager, God knows you right where you sit this morning. He knows everything about you. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows what you're rejoicing about. He knows the difficulties with your children, with your marriage. He knows your financial difficulties. He knows maybe you're going to get to go on vacation tomorrow. He knows what's happening in your job. He knows what's happening in your home. And listen to me, He knows you and He loves you and He calls you by name this morning. Would you hear the Spirit of God call your name? For some of you, when He calls your name, the call for you this morning is to understand your significance come from a relationship with Christ. And you can do that. And we just sung about that. Our children did. You can admit you're a sinner, the ABCs. Ask Him to forgive you of all of your sins, past, present, and future. To believe that He is the Son of the living God. That He came and died on a cross just for you. You can confess Him as Savior and say, Lord, I give my life to You. And commit to Him as Lord. You can just do that so simply this morning. And I urge you, if that's on your heart this morning, you can do that. Maybe this morning, boys and girls, you prayed that prayer this week and you got to talk to an adult, or maybe not, and you want to come and make that public and say, yes, I did that, and I want the church to know that I've made that decision to be a Christ follower. You can do that this morning. Maybe adult, you made that decision. You never made it public this morning. You can do it today. Maybe you need to come join this church family. It's time to step over the line and not just be an attender, but be a part of what God is doing in this fellowship and amazing and incredible things that God is doing. We need more folks to help us be a part of that. And so if God's calling your heart today, He knows what's on your heart and mind. You come today and say, I'm ready. Maybe you have something on your heart you want somebody to pray with you about. Charlie and I, student minister, will be at the front here to receive you, to pray with you. Maybe you want to come to this altar and just spend some moments with God. Maybe it's just to sing this morning. Just let the thought flow over your heart and mind this morning of how many times God's thought about you since you've been awake this morning. And let the love of the Father roll over you this morning. Because I have a Creator and He knows my name. Father, would You speak to our hearts right now? Give us courage to respond publicly to what You've done in our hearts privately, I pray, right now as we worship together. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with us? Let's sing together. We're at the front to receive You. You have a decision to make. Would you come right now? Don't wait. Our time is short. Would you come right now? You come. Let's sing together. You come.